My heart is filled with joy and gratitude towards God for the way He has brought me thus far. As announced, I am from Pathanapuram. I grew up in a wonderful assembly, Kalanyur Brethren Assembly. As I stand here, I am humbled. Thank you for giving this great opportunity to minister the word. When I was growing up as a small boy, we had a wonderful Bible study in the assembly. And I should mention two names. That is late K.V. George and K.V. Jonesar, who is still alive. And we young people had a great opportunity to study God's word under them. And I grew up in a small village. And my father wanted me to be a teacher. My brothers wanted me to work in somewhere in Middle East. And I wanted to become a soccer player. And my Lord wanted me to be His servant. In 1992, I gave my life for the Lord's work. Then I studied God's word in different places in India. Then 99, I visited Jamtara. I met Shenai uncle. And I saw that man of God there. And my hidden agenda was that I will go there and work for 2 years. Then I wanted to return to my assembly or I wanted to pursue my higher studies. But the Lord's will was something different. It's been 18 years in Jamtara. And as I stand here, my heart is in Jamtara. Last 8 weeks, I spent my time in US. Originally, I was invited for the Southwest Brethren Conference. And I visited some of your assemblies. Thank you for all the love. And you have taken care of me very well. And I'm so excited. And I'll be leaving New York coming Thursday for Calcutta. And please pray for the work. And as GMI has presented the work, if any of you like to help BBTI and the sisters' ministries there, you can always send your help to GMI. And every penny for the ministry is audited, and it's a registered society and lasts 30 years. And we have a wonderful accounting system, and we report to our board members. And it was a great joy for me to continue that work, the great legacy which Shenai uncle has passed on to us. And thank you for giving me this great opportunity to minister the word. Now, this is the evening meeting, and my memory goes back to 20 years back when I was studying in Bangalore. We used to run a Bible, Sunday school in Bangalore. We had small children everywhere, and we had few Sunday school children. I met some of these children in U.S., and they are grown up. And we used to stay in different families there because on Friday and Saturday, Sunday, no classes in ACA where we studied. So we used to work among the children in the beginning. So we communicated God's word and we learned to communicate God's word to children. So we used to mingle with children. We used to play with them. And every time when we meet children, we make fun of them and they used to come to us. And there was a small naughty girl. Very smart. She was studying in class 3 in those days, I remember. She's grown up now. And in order to, irritate her, we asked her, "Where do you live?" "We live in Bangalore." And I asked her again, "Where is Bangalore?" "Uncle, Bangalore is the capital of Karnataka." And I asked her, "Where is Karnataka?" And she says, "That's in South India, Uncle. You never studied in the school and all that. It's in South India." And I asked her, "Where is India?" Oh, she got angry. She says, "Uncle, this is an Asian continent." And I thought that, she doesn't know what is a continent and all about. Then I said, where is Asia? She says, "Uncle, that's on this earth. There are many other continents." And I asked her one more question to irritate her. Where is this earth? "Uncle, that's in the universe." I asked her one more question. And she gave a beautiful answer, which no theologian has, no teacher has given me. That's such a wonderful answer. I asked her one more question. And I asked her, "Where is universe?" She said, "It's in the hands of the Lord." This evening, that's the thought I want to leave with you. The children of Israel, they started their journey from Egypt by 445 B.C., and the Lord took them on His palm. That's what the Bible says. Provided manna, provided all their needs. When you read Deuteronomy chapter 8, you know, we are studying verse 2, but if you read the following verses, the Bible says there very clearly, the raiment waxed not old in verse 3 and 4, neither their foot swell. The Lord gave them manna from above, all the spiritual and material and physical blessings from above, so that they may enter into the land of Canaan and they may continue to proclaim the living God. That's why, did the Lord send them to Egypt? You know, the purpose is written in the book of Genesis. What was the purpose? To make them a great nation so that they may come back to the land of Canaan and they will propagate the living God. They will shed the light of the living God to the Gentiles so that they may be a channel of blessing to others. That was the very purpose of the Abrahamic covenant. You study Genesis chapter 12. It's written very clearly there. In thee, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And that golden thread is spread all through the Bible. What is that golden thread? Through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, and all the children of Israel, the people in the world, all the families of the earth may know a living God. You study Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 5. It's written very clearly there. I have placed you in the center of the world. You know, you take a compass and take a map, the globe, and you see Jerusalem, Israel is in the center of the world. Why did God send them to Egypt? To make them a great nation. More than 400 years they were there in a special place, in an isolated land we call Goshen. And God called Moses to lead them and gave all the blessings, gave all promises. And Moses takes them. And we see 40 years what happened in the wilderness. And God's servants touched many aspects. This evening, I'm going to give you five pitfalls, and I'm going to talk to you how they were goalless in their lives. More than 20 lakhs people, they started their journey from Egypt. More than 20 lakhs people. And we know what happened. All through the journey, you study Nehemiah chapter, you study Nehemiah 9, you study Acts chapter 7, where Stephen gives the message, where it says, you know, they were disobedient, provocation and temptation, Massa and Meribah. The same thought is explained in the book of Hebrews. You see, they were disobedient all through their journey. That was the first pitfall. They were disobedient. God gave them all the blessings from above. You study Exodus. You study Deuteronomy. But they were tempting the Lord. They were provoking the Lord. They were disobedient. This evening, let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, disobedience is disastrous. Whether you live in India or in the US or Canada, God has only one principle in the whole Bible, whether it is Old Testament or New Testament. What is that principle? Obey God, get the blessing. Disobey God, get the curse, plus lose the blessing and get the punishment. Let me repeat that statement once again. What is that? There is only one principle in the whole Bible. You study 66 books in the Bible. Whether you live in the Old Testament or New Testament, any dispensation, God has only one principle. What is that? Obey God, get the blessing. You may say, brother, we are already blessed. We are in the New Testament. Yes, we are blessed. Blessings are there in our account. But God has not changed. Our God is an immutable, unchanging God. Obey God, get the blessing. And disobey God, get the curse. Half obedience is not obedience. When you study the book of Hebrews, there were 22 warnings given for the Jewish believers. What I mean is that the believers, the Christians who had a Hebrew background
And they were trying to go back to Judaism. And most of the warnings are given from the wilderness journey. And the first pitfall was they were disobedient. And the Spirit of God is giving warning for all the believers in New Testament times. Look at them. What happened? They did not enter into the rest. They did not enter into the land of Canaan because they were disobedient. We know more than 20 lakhs people started their journey. Only two people entered who started from Egypt. There was a new generation. That's what we study in the book of Numbers. The second pitfall we study from their wilderness journey, that it was unbelief. You go home and study Numbers chapter 13. God told Moses, send the spies into the land. They went to the land of Canaan and they spied the land and came back and gave evil report. And they disbelieved. Because of their disbelief and unbelief. You know what happened in chapter 13 of Numbers? You know, many people died. Many people were perished in the wilderness because of their unbelief. That was the second pitfall. Many of us are saved for 5 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years. This is the biggest sin a believer commits. You know what is that? Disbelief. You may say, how it's, brother? Yes, you study the book of Hebrews. I have no time to explain everything. How many times we disbelieved God's faithfulness, God's provision, God's providence, God's omniscience, and all his qualities and attributes. We have unbelieved in him, though we believe in a wonderful Savior. We say normally, Moses was a wonderful leader. He was preaching and teaching. And that was his ministry. That's what we think in 40 years of his ministry. Lord trained him in the palace so that he may use him in the wilderness. But in the wilderness, Moses was not leading the people mainly. When you study the book of Psalm number 90, there you will see what was the main ministry of Moses. What was the main ministry of Moses? Not teaching and preaching. The main ministry of Moses, some people may disagree with me, but I have a proof from the scripture. The main ministry of Moses was to bury the people, to conduct funeral service every day. 20 lakhs people started from the land of Egypt, all perished in the wilderness because of their unbelief. The first pitfall, disobedience. Second pitfall, unbelief. The third one, they murmured against the leadership. Whether you like it or not, let me make a statement like this. I am from an assembly background from the fourth generation. We think that everybody is an elder in the assembly. Because we believe in the priesthood of all believers. I was preaching in an assembly in Dubai, and wonderful assembly. You know, I don't want to mention that name. And after the message from Revelation chapter 4 and 5, the elder came and told me, Brother Santosh, it's humorously, he said, you know, he said, Brother, you have 24 elders in Revelation chapter 4, but we have 25 elders in the assembly. We think that we are all elders. No. There are God-given leadership. We got to obey the elders. We got to acknowledge God's God-given authority. We all have spiritual gifts. All are not elders. All are not deacons. All are not evangelists. God has given us different capacities and spiritual gifts that should be used for the edification of the assembly. That was the pitfall in the wilderness journey because they did not obey God's God-given leadership. The fourth one, their pride and arrogance. They were very proud. They did not obey. They said, we were more comfortable in Egypt. This fellow has brought us to the wilderness to kill us. There we were getting all kinds of non-veg. Here we are getting only manna, morning manna, afternoon manna, evening manna. Oh, bored. People were grumbling. you can study their about their grumbling in the book of Hebrews. They were disobedient. You see their idolatry, their adultery. There is a particular statement written in the book of in Pentateuch. You see, they rose up to play. You know, it is a euphemistic language. Playing. I don't want to explain that one here. Adultery always linked with idolatry. Idolatry always linked with adultery in the Old Testament. Under every green trees and above every hills, the children of Israel committed sins against the living God. They forgot the living God. Now, these people are walking through the wilderness. The Lord was carrying them. The Lord provided all their needs. Gave them promises, blessings, both spiritual and material, but they forgot the Lord. And the Lord allowed them to be perished in the wilderness. You know what was their main problem? They did not have any goal in their lives. They did not have any goal in their lives. That's what I see in the wilderness journey. They were following the glory of God. They were obeying Moses and the leadership, but still they did not have any goal in their lives. When I look at assembly, brethren, my heart is broken many a time. You know, we people have no goals in our lives. We have financial goals. We have family goals. We have material goals, but no spiritual goals. Do we have any goals? The children of Israel, in the wilderness, why did they perish? Because they did not have any spiritual goals. They were grumbling for the food. They were grumbling for the shelter. They were grumbling for many other material things. But they did not have the spiritual goal. What was the spiritual goal? In you, through you, all the families of the earth may be blessed. They did not get that main point. They did not have any goal. This evening, I want to share with you. They did not have any goal. Many a time, we also do not have a goal in our life. You know, I told you I was a soccer player. You know, in soccer, in India, we call it football. Yeah, in one team, you have 11 members. Another team, 11 members. In BBTI, it's a rule that every evening, students should come out and play. It's a rule. So some of these guys, they come and stand like this on the football ground. You know, the soccer ground, they don't know how to play, but still it's a rule. If the ball comes, I will kick. You can't play soccer like that. Huh? There are some players like that, they will come and stand on the football ground like that. You can't play. You have to grab the ball and hit it. You know, I had been to many countries. I've heard many languages. In every language, it is goal. Do you know any other word? I don't know. When I went to North India, it's goal. In Hindi also goal, they say. In Telugu, they say goal. In every language, in other countries also, they say goal. But we people have no goal. Because we are goalless people. It's there in our blood. You know, when I was growing up in my village, in the evening, all the Achayans will go to, you know, they have a custom. Mukkini Vuva. You know that? Why not? That's a very hard word. Yeah. That's a very hard word. You ask an average Malayali. You know, most of the Malayalis are sitting here. You ask an average Achayan. Achaya, evada puva? Oh, chumma, evada vare povanare. Have you heard that? It is there in our blood. Not only in Malayali. When I went to Tamil Nadu, I was there in Tamil Nadu for 3 years. And you ask them in Tamil, enga porunga? Oh, summa inga vara porunga. I was there in Hyderabad for 4 years. You ask a Telugu man, ekkada pothunnaru? I'm just going. It is there in our blood. No goal. Wasting time. Wasting God's resources. Wasting our time, wasting God's people's time. We waste many of our resources. We are goalless people. I thought it is not there in North India. When I went to North India, you know, you see hundreds of young people walking, no goal. Koi lakshya nahi hai. You ask average young man in North India, kahan ja rahe bhaiya? Oh, hum aise hi ja rahe. It's there in our blood. We waste God's time. We waste God's resources. We have no goals in our lives. That was the biggest pitfall in the wilderness journey. In reality, look into our own life. Many a time we also have no goals in our lives. You know, Indian shooters are very, very famous. Indian shooters are very famous. You can see in the Olympics or Commonwealth Games, they will point the gun towards a black spot. You call it bullseye. And there are some round around it. Sometimes they point the gun towards that, you know, black spot. Minutes together. They are not distracted. They point the gun towards that point. Minutes together. They concentrate on that. Then they shoot. They can then get the prize. You know how we do? Don't feel bad. Next time, even if you don't call me, I don't mind. You know how we shoot? You know, we take the gun in our hand. We shoot random. We shoot there, then we will put a black spot there. Then we will shoot there. There also we'll put a black spot, then around it. That's God's will in my life. Why are you here? What is your goal? God gave you shelter. God gave you food. God gave you how many abundant blessings. But still, what are you doing with all the resources that you have? Why are you here on this earth? What's the goal in your life? We are goalless people. What are our targets, my brothers? If I ask a question in this evening, why are you here in the U.S.? Chumma. Huh? Someone says chumma. No, you won't say chumma here. Yes, brother, we are here. We have many goals in our lives. But look into your own life and see, what are our goals? Our children should be settled. Our family should be settled. God gave us so many blessings which we have never dreamt of. But still, we have no goals. I'm talking about spiritual goals. Do we have any goals? Why are we here in U.S.? Why did the Lord bring us to U.S.? When God gave us all these blessings and promises, we disobey the Lord. We have disbelieved the Lord. Sometimes arrogance and pride. Sometimes we have rebelled against God's given authorities. We have no goals in our lives. You know, when you study about their lifestyle, they were only worried about the earthly things. That was their pitfall. Their desire was only earthly. No spiritual mind. If you and I have a spiritual mind, then you and I will have spiritual desires. But many a time our mind is downward, earthward. And that's why the Bible says we got to have heavenly minded. Heavenly mind. Children of Israel never understood what is their purpose. Why did the Lord call them? Why did the Lord bless them? I told you in the beginning. What is the purpose of their calling? So that through them, the Gentiles, the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Moabites, the people who are living around them may see the light of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you and I are here. That's the golden thread that runs through the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. In the Old Testament, it was a failure for Israel. They did not keep the identity. They did not propagate the living God. They went into idolatry. The Lord punished them. In 722 BC, the Lord sent them to Assyria. In 605 BC, Nebuchadnezzar came and captivated them. They were slaves for 70 years in Babylon. And they came back. And they became more arrogant. They killed many prophets. They disobeyed the Lord. And when the Lord was on this earth, he says, "Woe unto you hypocrites." They were trying to obey the Old Testament, literally. But they forgot God's purpose in their life. They were goalless. You and I tonight, let me tell you, we are blessed by the Lord. I don't believe that Canaan is a picture of heaven. Don't feel bad. I don't think. Because you study the Bible very clearly. Because in heaven there are no Nephilims, no giants. But we are in a wilderness journey. And the author of Hebrews makes it very clear. How are we living? There are many warnings given. More than 22 warnings in the book of Hebrews. They were goalless in their lives. I just want to read a verse. Two verses in the, you know. It's written here very clearly in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 11. "Now these things happened unto them for our examples." In some other translation you will see, "for our admonition." It's for our warning. The history of Israel is the revelation of God. Why all those stories given in the Old Testament? So that you and I may study and we learn those admonitions and warnings and we may not commit the same mistake in our lives. Tonight, let me ask you, what are our goals? Do we have any goals? That was the biggest mistake they committed. They did not have any goals in their lives. But I told you, if you and I have spiritual mind, then you and I will have spiritual desires. I like the desires of Paul in the book of Philippians, where he says, I may win Christ. In chapter 3, he says, I have so many physical, material prerogatives to be boasted on. He says, pure Jew, born in a Greek city. He had the Roman citizenship. He was a Hebrew. He had many other prerogatives. He was a learned man. And he says, I'm counting all those as dung in my life. I have some ardent desires in my life. He says, the first desire in chapter 3, I may win Christ. Then he says in chapter 3, verse 9, I may be found in Christ. I may be found in Christ. You know what's the meaning of that? In Malayalam, avanil irikkendathinu. Do you know what does it mean by that? If you do a word study on that, it's very clear there. It's written there, I may be plugged in Christ. That was his desire. We do so many spiritual activities. We are very active in the assembly and spiritual activities. But there is a saying in English, nearer to the church, but away from Christ. And Paul knew that danger. Paul knew that danger. Then he says, yes, I've planted many assemblies. I have the direct revelation from the Lord. And for the sake of the gospel, he was in the jail. And he writes to believers who are enjoying freedom, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say unto you, rejoice. And then you come down in chapter 3. I may win Christ. I may be found in Christ, which means I may be plugged in Christ. The deep devotion that you and I need to have with Christ. Thirdly, he says, I may know Christ. Lord, I want to know you. We study theology. Why? So that we may learn the attributes of God. So that you and I may become like God. We will never become God. But there are communicable attributes given in the scripture. You and I need to inculcate those attributes. That's who we need to know God. You know, Richard Wurmbrand, he says in his writing, in my affliction, I forgot theology, but I knew more theos. In my affliction, I forgot theology, and I knew more theos. This evening, let me tell you, we need to know God. That was his desire. I may win Christ. Secondly, he says in chapter 3, verse 9, I may be found in Christ. Then he says, I may know the power of his resurrection. Chapter 3, verse 10, you come down. Then he says, I'm going to miss some of the verses. You read chapter 3, verse 14. It's written very clearly there. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I'm not perfect, but I'm pressing toward perfection. I'm pressing toward the goal. I have a goal in my life. Paul, who planted so many assemblies, who had the direct revelation from the Lord, he was in jail. We call the book of Philippians as the prison epistle. And he says, I have a goal in my life. This evening, let me challenge you. Do you have any goal in your life? If you want, I need to have spiritual goal, two prerequisites are needed. Spiritual mind. Secondly, spiritual desire. Then we will have spiritual goal in our life. Do you have any spiritual goal? Have you ever written, I have some spiritual goals in my life? When I went to Jamtara first time, you know, I have written in the first page of my Bible, it's my desire and prayer that every town in Bengal and Bihar and Jharkhand may have an assembly. I don't know when it is possible, how it is possible. Sometimes we think that, you know, it is almost impossible, but we have a goal. We don't know when it is going to be achieved. Do you have any goal in your life? I want to challenge all the elderly men who are sitting here. I wish the young people be here. You are here in US and Canada. Have you written any spiritual goals in your life? How do you want your assembly to be after 10 years? How do you want your young people to be in this country after 10 years? Start working now. And press toward that goal in your life. How do you want your assembly, young people, Sunday school, youth ministry, and whatever you do for the Lord, how do you want to be? How do you expect the ministries? How do you expect your assembly to be after 10 years, after 15 years? Write it down and pray for that and work towards that goal in your life. You know why we don't achieve anything? We don't set any target in our life. We shoot here and there. Then later we say, oh, someone told us to go to US. Yes, I am in US. Someone told us to get married with someone. We got married with that person. Someone told us to get that job. We got that job. Why are you here when the Lord gave you all the blessings, promises? Ultimately, at the end of the day, what have you achieved and what are you going to achieve? That's the challenge I want to leave with you. Many a time, we have no goals. But Paul had a goal in his life. I will read a verse from 2 Timothy. Please come with me to 2 Timothy. At the end of his life, you know what did he do? That's a challenge for each one of us. Chapter 4, 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 says like this. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Paul knew that he is going to be executed very soon. He was in a jail. It was a dungeon. It was a Mamertine jail. He was in chains. The soldiers who were with him, they had three shifts. 6 into 3, 24 hours. But Paul did not have any shift. And he was in the jail for the sake of the gospel, who had everything in his life. He left everything for the sake of the gospel. At the end of the day, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And I have kept the faith. This evening, let me tell you, what are our goals? And Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, yes, I'm pressing toward that goal in my life. Do you have any goal, spiritual goal? That was the pitfall of the Israelites in the wilderness and all through their lives in the Old Testament. They did not know the purpose of God in their lives. They did not have a goal in their life. All earthly, material goals they had, we know from the scripture what happened to Israel. The same promise, The same blessing, the same purpose is running through the church today. What is, why are we here on this earth? So that you and I may be a light to the Gentiles on this earth. And Paul says, that's why I'm here. When he was in jail, he was living the gospel. When he was outside, he was living the gospel. Not only preaching, he was living the gospel. And at the end of his life, he was in chains. He was in a Roman prison. Then he writes this epistle to Timothy in chapter 4, verse 13. Look at that. Only three things he had materially in end of his life. You see in verse 13, the cloak that I left, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. You know, Paul was very old. Tradition says like this. You know, it's not written in the scripture. Tradition says like this. Every evening, Paul used to come out and ask the jailer, my son Timothy is come, because the winter was at hand. I was in Rome in 2015. It was the month of June. I was feeling cold there. And winter was at hand. Winter was at hand. Paul was so weak in his old age. He was feeling so cold in the jail. But every evening he had the permission to come out, and he would come and ask the jailer, my son Timothy is come. I want to meet him. I've written an epistle to him. I'm waiting for the parchments. I'm waiting for the books. I'm waiting for my blanket which I have left in Troas. Every evening he would come and he would ask the jailer, I'm waiting for my son. You know what happened? The tradition again says like this. One day evening, this young man comes with a big burden on his back. And he comes and meets the jailer. I want to meet my father. The jailer asked, what is your name? I'm Timothy. Oh yes, your father used to come every evening and ask for you. He wanted to meet you. He was feeling so cold. He was so desperate to meet you. And then he says, yesterday evening, this time, your father, Paul, is executed. A man who had everything in his life, he forsook everything for the sake of the gospel. And he says, I'm counting all this as dung in my life. I have some spiritual desires in my life. I have a spiritual goal in my life. And for the sake of the gospel, he was beheaded. And Timothy, he keeps the whole luggage on the floor and he cries bitterly and says, my father Paul, Timothy could not meet Paul. What prompted Paul to give his life for the Lord? This evening, I want to challenge all the believers who are sitting here. What are you doing with all the resources that you have? How many blessings God gave us, both spiritually and materially. What are we doing with that? Paul had everything in his life. And these three things he had materially, the parchments, the books, and the blankets, even those three things he could not have. And he gives his life for the gospel. That's why you and I enjoy this great freedom. Because the early church fathers, the apostles, the disciples, they had a goal in their life. And they fulfilled God's command, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That should be the first and foremost commandment obeyed by every church, every local church, every believer. Why are we blessed? So that you and I may be a blessing to others. What happened to Israel? They were disobedient. Because of their disbelief, arrogance and pride, they rebelled against the leadership. Because of their idolatry and adultery, they forgot God's purpose in their life. They did not have any goal in their life. And God's mission in the Old Testament was a failure. And today, the same commandment is given to the church. Go ye into all the world. Baptize, teach, and make disciples and bring people to Christ. That should be our main motto. We should not repeat the mistakes which Israel has committed. Now, all these things are written for our admonition, for our examples, for our warning. And if we don't listen to that, the Lord can't help us. As a church of God, believers, I want to challenge all of you who are sitting here. Why are you here? What is the goal of your life? Have you set any target in your life? Or are you shooting random here and there? Then you think that it is God's will in my life. Let us continue to fulfill God's purpose through our lives and our personal life and our assembly life. Why are we here in the U.S.? Lord has blessed us so much so that you and I may be a blessing to others. Let us continue to obey God's word. And what is the golden thread in the whole Bible? In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. May the Lord bless us together. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for speaking to our hearts. Now, these things are written for our admonition and for our warning. Father, help us to take these words positively and obey thy word and follow thy footsteps. Father, thank you for teaching us from the lives of the Israelites and their wilderness journey. Even as we today lead this wilderness journey, Father, we pray that you may continue to speak to our hearts, obey thy word, and believe in you in all our circumstances, and set a goal in our lives. That goal, the purpose of God in our lives. Father, bless us together. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.